I greet you in the worthy name of Jesus, the one who gave himself for me. And not for me and thee only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Isn't that a wonderful gospel message? That through the sacrifice of one holy, righteous, sinless Son of God, many shall be made righteous. And whosoever will may come. He that is athirst may come and drink and take of the water of life freely. Open your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. The last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. Let's kneel together before our great God and King. Father, we bow down before you, Lord. We confess with our tongue, with our mouth, with our heart, Lord, that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Father, we do humbly entreat you, Lord, that you would, in your graciousness and your mercy and your kindness, Lord, visit us today in this place. Thank you, Father, for what you have already so graciously shared with us through our brothers, Lord. And Father, now we ask in Jesus' name that you would, in your tender kindness and mercy, grant utterance to your servant, Lord. And Father, we pray that you would grant grace to our hearts to receive, to hear. Father, I confess it is not within me, Lord, to bring about anything good, Lord. It's all you, Father. It's all by your Spirit, Lord. So, Father, we bow before you, Lord, and we ask in the name of Jesus, Father, that your word, you would wing it, Lord. You would anoint it, Father. You would give it unction, God, by the Holy Ghost. And, Father, we pray that we would hear the voice of the Lord today and not the voice of a man. Thank you, Father, that I don't need to preach myself. Let him preach Christ Jesus and the Word of God, which is true, which is settled, which is pure, which is tried, which will endure forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but Your Word, it's settled, it endures forever. Thank You, Lord God. Father, we just pray that Your glory would be manifest in our hearts. Your awesome holy majesty, Your holy presence, Father. Father, we pray You would speak to those who may be listening in by phone or by whatever means, Lord, O God. Those that may be in the basement or in a nursery with a baby. O God, bless each one of us, Lord. And do not pass any one of us by, Lord. Father, it's us, Lord. We stand in need of You, Lord. We stand in need of a visitation and of a refreshing from the presence of our God. So, Father, we trust You for these things, for we ask them by faith in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have Your way, we pray. Amen. The burden of my heart this morning is that God in His mercy and His goodness would visit us here upon the earth while we are walking through this pilgrim land with its refining fire and with its fuller soap, so that we may be a people that are prepared not only to go to heaven, but that we are a people that are prepared to offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness acceptable in His sight. That God would, by His mercies, by His grace, speak to my heart and to all of our hearts together here this morning, and prepare unto Himself a peculiar people, a holy people, set apart and consecrated unto God. He says, I will send My messenger and he shall prepare the way before Me. I believe that's speaking of John the Baptist, speaking prophetically, looking forward to the day when John the Baptist would go the way before the Lord Jesus coming and prepare the way before the Lord. And then he says, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to His temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delighted. He shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of His coming? And who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. I believe as we look at this scripture, there is a number of different applications can be made. We can look at it in prophecy forward to John the Baptist. We can look at it in prophecy forward to the Lord Jesus Christ coming, the first time coming and ministering and walking in the fullness of God upon the earth and then dying on the cross. We can look at it in that light. And I believe we can also look at it in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when He comes back again to receive His bride. And then I believe we can also look at this scripture as in a present, continuous, ongoing walk with God and the heart of God and the presence of God working amongst His people to purify unto Himself His people, that we may be a holy people, consecrated, set apart, to offer unto God an offering in righteousness. There's many scriptures that we could turn to. This is not a small thing upon the heart of God. The matter of purifying, the matter of cleansing, He speaks about it as a purging and as a pruning and a trying, because the Lord God did not only save us and leave us here to just use up some space and time till He comes and takes us home to glory, but He wants to purify unto Himself a holy, peculiar people set apart unto God that show forth His praises and His glory on the earth. Oh, that we may show forth the beauty and the holiness of our God. We certainly know that in the great culmination, when Jesus Christ returns, there will be a great dividing. There will be the great separation of the sheep on the right hand and the goats to the left. There will be the great separation of the blessed for all of eternity and the cursed for all of eternity. But I believe here this morning, rather than just focus the message on the second return of Christ and that great final separation, I believe the Lord has an application for our hearts here today, that He wants to do a work in our hearts to purify unto Himself a holy people, a people consecrated unto God and set apart unto God. John was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it speaks here of His coming. It speaks of coming suddenly. And He will come. And He will come suddenly. And He will come with a purpose. He comes to purify. He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He is like a refiner's fire. You know, thinking in light of our Lord Jesus' return, He will come suddenly. As His first coming, so His second coming. His first coming was sudden, and yet it was obscure, and there were those who did not recognize Him and did not receive Him. This morning, it's the burden of my heart that somehow, by His grace, our hearts can be stirred to press into the kingdom of God, to all that He has for His people, and also that our hearts can be opened up before the Lord, that He may, by His Holy Spirit, bring His light upon us, that we may examine our hearts, lest that day come upon us unawares and we are unprepared, lest coming suddenly He find us sleeping. The glory of the Lord always comes like a thief in the night to those who are asleep in their sins. He will come. He will assuredly come. But His coming is a time of sifting and a time of refining. Who may abide the day of His coming? Actually, this morning, without the blood of the Lamb applied to our hearts and lives, without our sins forgiven, without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, no one is prepared to stand at His appearing. None of us. There's none righteous, no, not one. If Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with Thee that Thou mayest be feared. Hallelujah. The day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? How can the weakness of man endure such might and splendor of our Lord? How can the blindness of man endure such light? How can the frailty of man endure such power? How can the uncleanness of man endure such holiness? How the chaff such fire, such burning? For He is a refiner's fire. Just as His first coming and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ and His preaching, there were those who received Him and there were those who did not. There was a time of sifting and a time of division right from the beginning of the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. There were those who received Him and there were those who rejected Him. But that division or severance is not yet final. Today, we have opportunity to yet turn and repent of our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Jesus said, "For judgment am I come into this world, that they which see may not see, and they which see may be made blind. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." That's out of John 3. Then on the other hand, as he saith in John 6:47, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." In present reality, Brother Reuben, He has everlasting life, and He has that inheritance of the down payment of the inheritance given, and has that assurance that He has eternal life. So today we stand either in the class of the condemned already because we have not believed and yet may turn and be saved, or we stand in the class of those who are saved and who are walking with the Lord. So we are living in a time where the invitation is extended and the gospel opportunity is open to all, to whosoever will may come. But today, according to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are either abiding in the grace and the presence of God on our lives, or we are abiding with the wrath of God upon our lives, according to the words of Jesus. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. I thought of the Lord Jesus where he said, from henceforth, he said, what do you think I've come for? Do you think I've just come to bring peace? He said, nay, I've come to bring division and a sword. And I know these are hard words. We love to preach about the peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But the truth of the reality is, there is also a division and a sword that comes with Christ as to what will you do with Jesus. To those who believe Him and receive Him, He's their Lord and Master and Savior and Friend. But to those who reject Him, the wrath of God abideth upon them. This is a fearful thing. This is an awesome thing. To live day by day with the wrath of God upon the unbeliever, those who reject Him. The Scriptures speak of the fire and the testing by fire. And it speaks of a ever-present, ongoing testing by fire, as I understand the Scriptures. I believe the words in the fullest sense of this prophecy here in Malachi is that we are in a fullest sense, we are in a passing judgment in which men do stand or do not stand. The Scriptures speak concerning men's works as being tested by fire in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10 through 15. Maybe we should turn there. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 through 15. According to the grace of God which was given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it. Certainly we can say that every man's work shall be manifest and the day shall declare it, as certainly we can apply that to the judgment day. But I believe it also applies to us right here, right now, in that as we go through life, we face fiery trials and testings that test our faith and test our relationship and our walk with God. And those things, those testings and those trials, God has designed to burn out the dross and to purify us unto Himself, a people that are holy and righteous before Him. But if we are building with wood, hay, or stubble, have you ever seen a man or a woman who in their Christian life, as they're going through life and facing, our lives are all tested. All of us get tested in life. There's none of us can escape it. You know, you look around and you might see, well, that person doesn't seem to have any trials or any testings. But all of us face testings in life, and those testings prove of what sort our building materials are, and whether we are building with gold and silver and precious stone, or whether it's wood, hay, or stubble. And it's the mercies of God upon my life to show me up now before the judgment day so that I can see my error and the dross and the tin, you know, and the artificial stuff so that it can be purged out of my life and burned out of my life so that I can be prepared and equipped and be purified so I can offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Am I making any sense? Oh, God, help me. I long to just share this word with us. Our God is a consuming fire who must burn out the dross from our lives, lest unless we be reprobate silver, which the founder melteth in vain. So He must either by His grace consume the sin within us now through the fiery trials of life and through the chastening hand of the Lord, or if we will not be chastened and be purified now, what is left? But rather to consume us and our sins with Him in hell. That's an awful consequence. But we are going through this life, and life tests us. Trials come our way to test us and to prove us. And the reason for it is that God desires to purify unto Himself a people that will offer an offering to Him in righteousness. He is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. Two sorts of materials for cleansing are mentioned here. One is fire, and one is like a fuller's soap. Our God is a consuming fire. He is a jealous God, and He longs to purify unto Himself a people prepared. I don't believe that Jesus is coming for a bride that is committing adultery with the world and is living in debauchery and sin. I don't believe that. The Bible tells us very clearly He is coming for a bride without spot and without wrinkle. And as we go through these trials in life, as we allow the hand of the Master, purifier, refiner, to do its work in our lives, He has only one good thing in mind, and that is to burn out the dross and take away the tin and that which is not real in our lives, to wash us from our sins and our iniquities. But this is not a pleasant experience, is it? To the flesh we shrink back. I know I do. And it causes us to have to die. It causes us to have to surrender. It causes us to have to get on our knees in repentance when the Lord turns up the heat in our lives. And God does it in His mercy, so that the dross that is in there can come up to the surface. I'm sure you've heard many times the illustration of how that when gold and silver is purified, the heat level is adjusted very carefully, just a little hotter and a little hotter, and then the dross comes up to the top. And then the purifier takes off the dross with a little skinning device, and then puts on a little bit more heat. And then more dross comes, and then he takes it off. And when the purifier and the refiner can see the reflection of himself on the top of that heated up, purified gold and silver, then he knows it is pure. And so for us, my brother, my sister, as the Lord Jesus Christ looks upon our lives, and as He's purifying us, and He's taking off the dross, oh, when He sees the reflection of the image of Himself in our lives, Christ in us, and the dross purged away, oh, what a beautiful, pleasant experience. Because then, it's not I, but Christ. Then, it's my own agenda, my own will, my own ambitions and things are purified and sanctified. And I'm not saying here this morning that this is a one-time process. I have not found it so in my life. God continues to work in our hearts and lives and to purify us and to purge out the dross that we may offer an offering unto Him in righteousness. And I believe I'm speaking to people this morning, brothers and sisters, that is your heart. You long and desire to be done with the old man. Oh, wretched man that I am, that those things of the flesh, those things that come out that are not pleasing to the Lord, that show our humanity, show our weakness, show our human frailty, show our humanness. We just desire to be cleansed and to be washed. And we groan and we long to be like Christ. Amen. Is that our hearts? We just long to be like Jesus. Lord, spare not to purge and take away the dross. Well, how does this come? He says, many other scriptures we could look at. He says in Isaiah 1:22, thy silver is become dross, and thy wine mixed with water. Somehow, along the Christian walk of life and experience, the silver has dimmed and dross has gotten in there, and thy silver has become dross. And then he gives the picture of wine. Instead of being that pure wine, it is now mixed with water. And I believe, brothers and sisters, we live in an age and a time when there is a tremendous pressure and push on God's people for a mixing, for the people of God to somehow just give a little compromise and a mixing of water, of the world, and of self, and of sin, with the pure wine of the redeemed, redemption that we have been brought to in Christ Jesus, to dim the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And a bit of dross in there. He says that silver has become dross. Well, he goes on to give some examples of what was taking place. He says the princes are rebellious and companions of thieves, and everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither does the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. O Lord God, do it in my life. Do it in us as a congregation. Because then he says, I will restore thy judges at the first and thy counters at the beginning. And afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. I will turn my hand upon thee and I will purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. Can the leper change his spots? Can a man purge himself from his sins? No, we need the hand of our God. upon us to purge and to purify and to cleanse. But you know, God won't do it without our permission. God will not do it without our surrender. God will not do it without our willingness and our release and our desire. Proverbs 17:3, the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold. But the Lord trieth the hearts. Isaiah 48:10, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. You see this whole picture of refining with silver and as of gold is so we can get a picture and something to grasp a hold of. But what God is really interested in is in our hearts. To refine and purify my thoughts, my affections, my motives, all of those things. Isaiah 48:10, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? I will not give my glory to another. You know, the Lord God in His mercies, He loves His children. And every son whom receiveth, He chasteneth. He loves His children. And just like we fathers who love our children, chasten our children. Because we don't want them to be evil. We don't want them to be castaways. So the Lord God, every son whom He receiveth, He chasteneth. And that chastening is in the furnace of affliction. And He does it for His own name's sake. Because how shall my name be polluted? He says, I will purify you. I will cleanse you. I will take away thy dross. And in Proverbs 25:4, He says, I will take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. A vessel for the finer, the refiner to use, prepared. A vessel prepared unto every good work. A vessel purified. A vessel sanctified. You know, it's the Lord's mercies that when He sees me straying, wandering, maybe becoming self-sufficient or proud, it's the Lord's mercy that brings chastening and refining upon us. It's of the Lord's mercy where He turns up the heat. And how does that look? There are many different means of grace from the Master's hand. From our Master who sits as a refiner and a purifier of the sons of Levi. See, He's not talking about those out there. He's talking about His own chosen people to refine them. The sons of Levi, those that belong to Him. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. God's ways are mysterious. They're marvelous. They're wonderful. But they're also painful. I just want the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning that we could see that thing in our lives that the Lord is wanting to purify. That thing which is unchristlike, that thing which is hindering us in our walk with God, that thing that is standing between us and the glory of the Lord. Whatever it is that the Lord wants to purify out of our lives, whether it takes fire, and fire is a fearful thing. Our God is a consuming fire. But it's the Lord's mercy that would bring fiery trials and fiery testings to purify and to cleanse out of my life that which needs the fire to burn it out and to bring forth the gold. Refining by fire. There would be many testimonies we could look at. I think of Job, who went through great loss of earthly possession and family and even his health. And I'm not sure how that all fits in, but God was doing a work in Job's life. And in the end, he said, "Now I know thee. Now I see thee. Now I know who you are." And the Lord blessed him. But it does tell us Job was a righteous man. It wasn't because necessarily of sin in his life. And that's why sometimes maybe it may be puzzling to the child of God. Lord, what is happening? What am I going through? And it pains us and it hurts. Oh, but afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those that are exercised in it. And it brings forth a beautiful gold and a Christ-likeness that we didn't have before. We may have had it in a measure, but God wants to take us deeper. He wants to take us farther. I think of the word of Daniel in Daniel 12, where the Lord spoke to Daniel and he said, "The words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." And then he speaks of the time of the end where many shall be purified and made white and tried. You see, that's what the Lord is after. That's what the Master Refiner is looking for. A purified life, one that is made white. That this fire is not for our destruction, but it's to burn off the things that do hinder us and to cleanse us and to purify us. Many shall be made white and tried. The wicked shall do wickedly. You know, I think of the trials and the fiery trials. For a person who is not seeing it as coming from the Lord and who is in wickedness, the wicked do wickedly. Even in trials, even in fiery trials, even in the face of death, some of those people, we heard testimonies, curse God as they die. They just do more wickedly. But the righteous, the wise, they shall understand. To them, they are made white and purified. Zechariah tells us in chapter 13, verse 9, "And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. But in the midst of their trial, they shall call on my name." In the midst of that refining, they are going to call on my name and I will hear them. "And I will say, it is my people." And they shall say, "The Lord is my God." Hallelujah. Are you in a fiery trial this morning? Are you going through trials? Look at it in this light of Scripture, here in Malachi, where he says that he shall sit and refine as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. When we think of the early church and how that through fiery trials and persecutions, the church was purified by fire. And they were scattered abroad and they went everywhere preaching the gospel. Then we think of the Reformation days when again there was a people who God began to brood over their hearts, and they began to search the Scriptures and believe the Scriptures and come out from the apostate church. And how was it that this Reformation came about? Well, there was men who were willing to lay down their lives for the sake of truth and of the Gospel and the Word of God, and they were purified by fire, by fiery trials. Actually, literal fire. Many of them were burned at the stake. Many were cast into prison, and you know, they went through fiery trials. But it only purified them and caused them to burn brighter and the testimony to become more clear. Brothers and sisters, I do not know. I'm not saying a prophetic, thus saith the Lord, but I do not know how soon we may also, as the hymn writer said, faith of our fathers, how wonderful it would be if their children, like them, could die for thee. We see a lot of things of signs of the times, but that should not frighten us, because Jesus said, don't be afraid of those who kill the body, but have no more that they can do. Don't be afraid of them, but rather fear God, who is able to cast both soul and body into hell. Yea, I tell you, fear Him, fear God, love the Lord. Speaking a bit of end times and the return of Christ, and how we mentioned earlier that I don't believe Jesus is coming back for an anemic, sleepy, compromising bride, but He's coming back for a bride who is prepared herself, made herself ready, and her robes washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb, and are expectantly looking and awaiting His return without spot, without wrinkle. Well, how is that going to happen in America? We know it is happening in other parts of the world. And we are not the only people of God on the face of the earth. So let's not forget that, lest we interpret all prophecy or the Bible through our eyes in America. There are many thousands and, yea, may I say, millions of Christians who have been purified and tried throughout the generations and even presently today. In China, Vietnam, Africa, many different places. In Muslim nations, Saudi Arabia, there are some Christians, but you don't hear much about them. Iran, there are some Christians, but you hear very little about them because it's such a closed, tight country. But those people are crying and saying, oh Lord Jesus, how long till You come? Because if they have a Bible and are reading it, they see that there are yet a season of time where there are those that must also suffer for the name of Christ, and then the Lord Jesus returns and raptures His people out from the whole judgment that's coming upon the earth. And the wrath of God is poured out upon the ungodly and sinners. But God's people, I don't believe, will go through that. God will call His church out. But I do believe that there will be a time of persecution and testing according to Scriptures. There will be great tribulation such as there has not been, Jesus said. And except those days would be shortened, even the elect should not be saved. But because of the elect's sake, those days are shortened. So God will take care of His people. But brothers and sisters, this morning, can we expect that God will take care of us as His people if we are living a lukewarm and unconcerned and indifferent life, and we are committing adultery with the world? No, I don't think so. According to the Scriptures, God is purifying His people, and He will purify His people that we may offer unto Him an offering in righteousness. All those who love God and who press into the kingdom of God, sometimes it may look like the sinner is escaping judgment. Oh, but His judgment will come. His day is coming. You know, a little bit like I believe David said, I looked on the heathen and I saw that You know, it seemed they had everything going for them. But then I went to the house of God and I considered their end. And then God spoke to me. You know, the kingdom of our God and of our Christ is, in this world we shall have tribulation. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom. You shall be hated. You shall be persecuted. Men shall speak evil of you. It will not be a bed of roses. You will go through fiery trials. But oh, if you will allow that fiery trial to have its purposed end in your life, you shall be unto me a peculiar people, a prepared people, set apart unto God. What are you going through in your life? Are your trials almost more than you can bear? Take a fresh look at the Master who sits and is refining your heart and life. And see what God wants to do to purge out the dross, to take away the tin, to take away all hypocrisies and pretenses and prides and selfishness and all these things. And purify unto Himself a people that are prepared to offer an offering in righteousness. As Zacharias prophesied, that we might serve Him in holiness and in righteousness before Him all the days of our life. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. You know, an offering in righteousness. Of course, our minds go to Romans 12. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Giving ourselves to the Lord, our bodies, all that we are, to serve the Lord God in righteousness. Are you in the fire this morning? Let the Lord have His way and let Him burn out the dross and bring forth the gold. Do you feel like you're under the washboard this morning and the fuller's soap is being applied? As I studied that out a bit, the fuller's soap and the washing of the fuller's soap. You know, today we have washers, you know, automatic washers where you put the laundry in and it does the job. But in those days, in order for the garment to be washed, it was put in the fuller soap and the water and then was trampled upon with the feet to scrub that dirt out of the garment. It doesn't feel good when we're in that washing. But oh, like David said, Lord, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Purge me, wash me completely through and through. I don't want to see those spots of sin anymore in my life. Oh God, wash me thoroughly. Purge me. Brothers and sisters, who may abide the day of His coming? Who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. And He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. What does God want to do in our hearts, in our day, of 2010 is there dross in my life? Is there spots on my garments that God wants to wash and purify, that we can offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness, and that it's pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old? This is a beautiful scripture here in Malachi. And I thought we would just take a quick look down now to verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. And I'd like to liken that this morning to that living sacrifice we were talking about out of Romans 12. Bringing our bodies and our faculties, our all that we are unto God as a reasonable sacrifice, giving ourselves. I don't think it applies just to a tenth of our income as is spoken of here. Now I believe that does apply, but I believe that what God wants to speak to our hearts deeper than that is that we bring an offering that is acceptable. And it's not one in pretense. It's not one of just going through some motion of religious exercise where God says in the beginning of Isaiah, He says, your new moons, your feasts, your Sabbath, all your sacrifices, I'm sick and tired to bear them. Away with that. Because God wants heart worship, heart sacrifice, a total surrender and giving to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He says here, if you will offer an offering in righteousness and bring that offering to God in righteousness, then He says, look what I'll do. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. What a promise. That when we are purified and cleansed and sanctified and we come to the Lord and we offer an offering in righteousness, that then the Lord opens up a window of heaven to pour out a blessing. And it not only doesn't stop there. He says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine caster fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. What a beautiful promise. And what a lovely fruit of righteousness. Ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. A blessed life where heaven is open over us and God is pouring out a blessing upon His people. May the Lord purify unto Himself my life and our lives together here at Charity Christian Fellowship, that we may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness and true holiness. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Aaron. I was just studying this week in the book of Psalms, and if you ever are going through some deep trials, temptations, and deep difficulties in your life, I'm going to give you an encouragement to read Psalms 38 and 39, and then 40 as well. You know, Psalms 38 and 39, just a few verses here, says, Lord, David says, I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before Thee, and my groaning is not hid from Thee. And that was an encouragement to me recently. I was going through a trial, and just thinking of the deep trials that we at times face, all our groaning is before Him. All our desire is before Him in the midst of those trials. And you know, David goes on and he's bemoaning himself. He's bemoaning and loathing his condition. he was dealing with sin in his life and dealing with, you know, but yet there was that desire, it seemed, to be purified. In fact, verse 11 of 39, it says, "When thou with rebukes doth correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity, Selah." You know, when God rebukes us, sometimes we just feel so almost, you know, we just don't feel that vibrancy. It may be in our Christian walk, or we just don't sense the Spirit of God upon us, maybe like we do otherwise. And but you know, David says, it so encouraged my heart, as we, you know, 38 and 39, it's a continuation there. And then in chapter 40, he says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry, and brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." So I just want to encourage us to be patient in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of trial and difficulty, because that's what God is working on. He's working to purify your life and to bring you forth as gold. And in those areas where you feel like you're in the miry clay, He wants to bring you forth out of that clay and establish your goings, set you upon a rock. And that takes some time sometimes. That takes some time at times. David said, "I waited patiently for the Lord to do that work in my life." And then he says, "And at the end of it all, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." So let's take courage this morning in the midst of our deep trials and difficulties, that God is working to purge us, to establish us, to establish our goings, and to bring us to a place where we're much more in a place of, like it says in Thessalonians, I think, that we are sanctified, meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So God is working towards that end in our life. But sometimes He puts us, like Aaron said, puts us through fire that seems to be turned up, the heat seems to be turned up seven times, and sometimes hotter, as I think it says in Proverbs, and you know, it seems like there's tremendous pain in it, but God is working to bring us forth, establish our goings, purify our lives, so we might be of more usefulness for His glory and kingdom. Okay, anyone want to share this morning? Please slip up your hand, commenting on the message or a testimony. Here we have one on the left.
In the book of Job, we learn a lot of things. One of them is that Job was not the only one being tried and tested, but there were also other men being tested and tried during that time, which were his friends. And I believe in that sense, we can all say today, yes, I am being tested right now. I am being tried. Whether I'm going through that fiery trial myself or whether I'm ministering to others who are going through it. Mm-hmm. And we're all being tested. God hears everything we say. He knows our thoughts and our attitudes of heart. And says that God's wrath was upon those friends of Job's because of misrepresenting God to Job. They were so sure that Job had sinned, they didn't understand this principle that we were taught today, that no, God is purging us for our good. And they were sure it had to be because of sin. But if we can understand, as we were taught here, that that's the Christian life. It's through much tribulation we shall enter into the kingdom of God, Paul told his disciples in Ephesus. And oh, that we could all have that attitude you know, that we're going to the celestial city together. You're going to make it. And I was talking to a brother from Ephrata the other day, and we ended on a beautiful note. You know, I quoted him that verse of Saul. It says, I trust in my heart you'll go there. And we quoted that song, that verse to each other, and it was just a real blessing to have that heart attitude. By the grace of God, we're going to make it. We're going to make it through the trials. Mm-hmm. He's going to purge us and purify us. And let's encourage each other along the way. When you see me going through one, be that encouragement to me. And I hope I can do that for you too.
Amen, Paul.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Up here. And over here is a sister. Somebody have a mic for her? Slip your hand up, sister, so the usher can see you. Up this aisle, David. Okay, Brother Steve.
Yeah, I'm feeling very encouraged this morning. Just the message, and also just some of the things that's been going on in our lives, maybe somewhat along those lines. I know many of you know our heart for our own people, and especially our community down there in the southern end of Lancaster County. Just tremendously encouraged yesterday. I spent the day with a dear brother and sister that were one of the, or the second, the oldest man and his wife in the Amish church there that got converted recently. And just such a blessing to see how the Lord is working through all the things. You know, we prayed and we sought the Lord, and we're not so sure that God is even hearing or what He's going to do, but it was just a real encouragement and a blessing to us to be able to just see right in front of our eyes the Lord doing things that we had never dreamed of, and how it's not only this one couple, but a number of others that are, you know, almost in that same place, and how the Lord is just really stirring in the hearts of our people down there in our area. So I just want to ask for prayer for us. We feel like we need a lot of wisdom to know how to encourage these families, and know how much that we should be involved. It's a very delicate situation there right now, where a family is kind of being torn apart, and we really have a desire to reach out to them, and yet we also realize that, you know, if we are not careful, we could make matters worse very easily. So we just ask for your prayers as we reach out. Next Sunday, especially next Sunday afternoon, we want to meet with about at least three families. We want to get together at a park. And so just trust the Lord's going to continue to work and bless our outreach there. Thank you.
Amen, Steve. God bless you in that ministry. Praise the Lord. I think a sister in the back has a mic.
I just want to testify of God's goodness to me, especially like in the last 2 months. I feel like they've been probably the darkest 2 months that I've lived. And throughout, I didn't really understand why. I asked God a lot, okay, have I done something? And I just felt, yeah, everything I put my hand to basically crumbled spiritually and even somewhat in the home. And I just felt really discouraged. And I think one of the biggest things God began to teach me through it is that He wanted to teach me a lesson. He wasn't just taking me through it for the sheer of the hardship of it. And God began to show me attitudes and my reaction to the trials. And I think that's where God has really worked a lot in me, just showing me that when hard times come, my reaction is to rely on my own self and look at my own needs and get surrounded in my own problems instead of turning to God. And then about a month ago, I was reading through Psalms 138, and at the end of the verse it says, God will perfect that which concerneth me.
Amen.
That just brought me a lot of hope, and I just grabbed onto that, and I just said, God, I don't know when it's going to end, and I hope it ends soon, but I don't understand everything, but I know that you're going to perfect that in my life. And I just feel like the last like week and a half, 2 weeks, have just been a week of slowly grabbing a hold again of the promises of God and realizing that I don't understand everything He's doing, but I don't need to question Him. And then just yesterday I was reading in Malachi, and in chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "I, the Lord God, change not." And I don't know, but my heart just rose up in a new faith that I haven't had in a long time, realizing that the God that has chosen to bring things into my life doesn't change. And I was thrilled with that. And I'm excited. I want God to teach me what He needs to teach me. I want to walk through this and allow this to be a stepping stone in my life and not a stumbling block. So I just want to bless the Lord and say that it's true that when you're going through it, it feels dark and lonely, and sometimes you don't feel like many people understand. You don't know how to express how you feel, but God has a purpose, and I want to trust Him for it.
God bless you, Sister Grace. And to think of that scripture as you were sharing, "Rejoice, though for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations." You know, God does His purifying work in our times of heaviness. It brings out there in Peter. So, Sister Sarah?
I was just so blessed and encouraged by that message, especially the picture of the gold, the reflection of Christ in the gold. And just last night I was reflecting over the last number of months of my life and different things that God has brought to my attention that needed to change, or areas where there might have been a rebuke, or just different areas where there was difficulty, and I knew He was working in my life. I knew He was refining me. And so I was just looking over that all and thanking the Lord for His refining work. And this might sound a little scary, but I also asked Him to continue His refining work. I said, "Lord, just continue Your refining work. I want Your glory to be evident in my life."
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Sarah, for that heart of desire. Is there anyone else here? We have a brother here. Go ahead, brother.
Hi, my name is Adam Latin. And my wife and I just moved in to the Schaeferstown area this week. And something I wanted to share in reference to the message is, when God takes you through a trial, it's God taking you through it. You're not alone in it. And one thing that was really neat that I wanted to share, on our way out here, a week before we left home in Minnesota, we had purchased a used car. And we got to Ohio, and the car overheated, and the engine died on it. And here we are in the middle of a state where we don't know anybody. And it's like, what are we going to do? And I just chose to trust God through it. And we were sitting there on the side of the road for about 5 minutes. And then a Christian man pulled up behind us and he said, "I can help you out. I'll give you a place to stay tonight. And I'll look at your car first thing in the morning." He put us up in his house. And they looked at our car with a Mennonite man, and they said, "Your car needs a new engine. It's not going to take you guys any further." And that's when I hit my low. It's like, now what are we going to do? So I went to my room, and I prayed, and I asked God, "Make my will Your will. Help me to see You through this." And I went downstairs, and the man's wife told me, she said, "My husband is getting a van for you guys to take out." And we get to his shop, and he wrote the title of this van over to me, and he said, "You use the van. You get out there to Pennsylvania. Use it as long as you need it, or you can buy it. But God's in control." And I just want to praise Him for the way that He took care of us. It just blows my mind. Praise to God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. That's when we trust Him in the midst of our fiery trials. He comes through. Amen. That's a very good testimony. Marlon?
Yeah, I also appreciate the message, Brother Aaron. It's very encouraging for me this morning. As we're going through a little fire trial right now, we thought we were through the fire, but looks like we might be entering it again. The pathology report came back from my wife, the tumor that was in my wife's heart, and it comes back as one that will grow back. So it's, the worst case scenario would be a heart transplant. So this coming Thursday, we'll be going in to talk to the heart surgeon. And I just ask that you would keep us in prayer. Brother Rick is figuring on going with us in. And keep us in prayer that we would have wisdom in the which way to turn. And also, if you have any counsel for us, we'd be open to it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. God bless you, Marlon. Amen. We have one in the back here. Elder?
I have a testimony that I would like to share. Few weeks back, here at Charity, Brother Daniel Hofer was sharing a message on sacrificing, sacrificial life. And that week, actually God spoke to me as I was at a crossroads in my life to decide some things where I need to go. And I was really encouraged with that, with his testimony and with his message on the day, and started praying about, you know, laying out all the things that I feel as important in my life at the altar of Christ and asking him to direct my life in the direction that he wanted me to go. As we were praying with my wife, God has been talking to us and comforting us in the things that I feel as impossible. You know, the main issue that we were at crossroads is like I was given a new job, and in order for me to get into that new job, I need to have a new work visa, and the job is very promising for me to take, but since I don't have a valid work visa, I was not sure whether I will be able to take that job or not. So as we were praying, it seemed very impossible for us to work out all the details, as it takes like at least 3 months to get the new work visa and things like that. And it is kind of getting difficult for us to have a valid immigration status in this country. So as it's been going very rough for us, we were seeking God, you know, Lord, help us in this situation, and, you know, where we know that you are faithful to us, where we can come back to your house and glorify your name, we want to do that. You know, we want to have that kind of a war with God. And as we were closing to the deadline, like I had like a 1 week just left to decide whether I will be taking up the new job or not. And last week, God has miraculously opened the door that I wasn't expecting. I was just praying that my work visa should be renewed, but God has granted me the green card, which is like a permanent resident status, which I wasn't expecting at all. So it is, I mean, that really encouraged me, because all the while God was in control of what he wanted to do, but he just brought that few weeks of loneliness where we could just come to him and pour out our hearts and, you know, ask him. And he was delighted in in fulfilling the heart's desires in his will and in his time. So I just want to take this opportunity to thank God, to praise his name for wonderfully working out all the details for me for taking up this new job. And I'm so grateful to God. I'm so thankful. I want to praise his name. I want to thank him. And I want to magnify his name for what he has done in my life. And I want to thank the church also for standing by my side in these difficult times. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lou. Appreciate hearing those testimonies from you and your wife.
at times it's a great encouragement to see how the Lord continues to come through in your lives, whether it's work or ministry, or it's an encouragement to us to see the hand of God moving. I think there's a sister up front.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank God for how faithful He's been to us this week, to Melinda and me, and give you a little bit of an update about the work we've been doing in Maryland for that family, the Muslim family. We had a really good week this week, and I want to thank you. Both of us want to thank you all for all of your prayers for us. We really feel them many times, and it's such a joy to go there and see God answering our prayers and to see Him open up doors of opportunity to share with this Muslim family from Pakistan. And this week, of course, at the beginning of Ramadan, we were really praying that God would give us lots of wisdom, and I know lots of you are praying too. Several, we specifically asked, and there are several times when the Lord opened up opportunities for us to share, just as we were there serving them, cleaning the house, and just doing everyday stuff. There are several opportunities that we got to answer their questions, and one time the mom sat down and wanted to know what I think about God forgiving our sins, and is it really true that God can forgive our sins? And it was such a joy to me to be able to share that. I do know. She wondered, do you think you can really know that God forgives your sins? And I was just so glad to be able to share with her that I do know, and to share how you can get to know that God is, that your sins are all forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And we would both like if you would continue to pray for us and for the Shah family, that they would remember these things that we've been able to share with them, and that these seeds would start growing in their hearts, and that they could continue to long to know, to have their sins forgiven, and to know that they're at a right place with God, and they'll go to heaven when they die.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Anna, for that report. Amen to the congregation here. These things are a blessing. Amen to the congregation.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.